Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the websites onthisday.com and almanac.com. Question number one. It was on this very day back in which year that RCA Victor Records began demonstrations of the long playing LP, 33 and a third RPM phonograph record. Which year was that anyway? Was that A, 1919? Was it B, 1931? Was it C, 1955? Or D, 1970? Year of the 33 and a third RPM LP record. And question number two, when is the harvest moon this year? Was it A, this weekend, September 16th? How about B, it already occurred on September 1st of this year? Well, how about C, not until September 29th? Or D, this year, it's actually early October, on the 6th. Harvest moon. When is that anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote unquote, is the weekend of September the 15th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1903 that country singer Roy Acuff was born. He was the first living artist to be elected into the Country Music Hall of Fame. Roy Acuff's B-Day, 1903, today. And it was 68 years ago today, 1955, that Capitol Records released Magic Melody Part 2. The song consisted only of the last two notes of the musical phrase, "Shave and a haircut, 2 bits. It was the shortest song to ever be released. 1955, today.
On information, the brass was phasing tunes I couldn't place. Windows open and raining in.
Wilco's Sky Blue Sky and You and I introduce our country music news. Last words, Jeff Tweedy. On expensive guitars, listening to new music, Judaism, and staying sober. This is written by Simon Vazik Levinson in Rolling Stone magazine, September 2023. What is the best piece of advice anyone has given you? Early on, we were touring with the band. It was Arkansas Traveler Tour with Michelle Schacht and Uncle Tupelo. I was rehearsing and Rick Danko stepped up on stage behind me out of the blue and said, "You sound desperate. You should always sound desperate. Don't lose that." It's a weird way of saying something that I totally agree with. I think what he really meant is people have to hear that you care, that you're desperate to communicate, desperate to connect. That's why we sing. In your new book, World Within a Song, you write about all kinds of new music that you love, from Billie Eilish to Rosalia. How have you kept your ears so open to new artists? Well, even if it wasn't something I'm naturally curious about, I think it's the most important part of what I do. I want to feed the part of me that gets excited by something unpredictable. I mean, I would have killed for this scenario when I was a kid, that I could just dial up anything I was reading about and hear what it sounded like immediately. So it's a kind of honoring that kid in me. You were skeptical of religion growing up, but you converted to Judaism as an adult. What role does Jewish tradition and belief play in your life these days? Well, we're primarily secular in our family. We go to high holy days and things like that. We have seders. It's a community that we feel embraced by, and a congregation that has a warm feeling to it for our family. When we've gone through things like my wife's cancer diagnosis, it's important to mean something, to be a fabric of the community. It's one of the first things I noticed about my wife's relationship with other people, especially when she ran a rock club. Anybody that was a Jewish person in a rock band that came through, automatically they had a comfort level, and they could actually sing the same prayers. I was thinking, what do I have like that? The Gilligan's Island theme song? Well, you've been in recovery for almost 20 years since you went to rehab for an addiction to opioids in 2004. How much do you have to think about that these days? It's a daily thing. It's not something you want to lose sight of. It's not as intense. The feeling of being on a ledge has gone away considerably over the years. At this point, right now, I'm in an enormous amount of pain because I have really bad osteoarthritis in my hips, and I count my blessings every day that this isn't the period in my life where I'm going to be introduced to opioids and find out how much power they have over me, and maybe not make it. I feel really, really fortunate to know what I'm up against. You suggest in the book that Stevie Wonder should write a new national anthem to replace the Star Spangled Banner. That's a great idea, but why not you? Well, who would you rather have write it, me or Stevie Wonder? So happy to leave what was my home. With the sky blue sky, this rotten time wouldn't seem so bad to me now. Wilco's 13th studio album, Cousin, will be released on September 29. Schubert's Symphony No. 9 in C Major introduces our classical music news. Lately, we've read 10 masterpieces of music by Harvey Sachs, Liveright Publishing Corporation, 2021. This is reviewed by Gracelyn Hyman and published in Quarter Notes, WCPE 89.7 FM. September through November 2023, the fall issue. There are many masterpieces of classical music, No doubt one or more of the composers, Mozart and Beethoven, Schubert, Schumann, Berlioz, Verdi and Brahms, Sibelius, Prokofiev, and Stravinsky, whose work was chosen for this book, 10 Masterpieces of Music by Harvey Sachs, is one of your favorites. Mr. Sachs, a musical historian who is a faculty member of the Curtis Institute of Music, explains in engaging detail what is brilliant about the piece of music he selected for each composer and how it fits into his life and cultural context. His writing style makes one suspect that he is sitting at his keyboard with a knowing smile. This book is exceptionally interesting and readable. The great variety within classical music was an important consideration in choosing the pieces for this book. 10 different genres are represented: a sonata piano, a trio, a quartet, a quintet, a song cycle, an opera oratorio, a symphony, a concerto piano, and a requiem. Some of the music is vocal, some is instrumental, and some is a combination. Different numbers of performers are required. These compositions were written in the classical, romantic, and modern styles of classical music, and special attention is given to transitions between these styles. In addition to a pointed life history of each composer, his place in the timeline of the pantheon of composers is cited. Who is contemporary, but younger or older, or how long a major composer has been dead, or when one will be born. Interactions among composers are a feature of the book. Each chapter ends with experiences of that composer regarding the subject of the next chapter. This book is written so that anyone who reads it will enjoy and benefit from it. All that is necessary is an interest in classical music. Outcasts, I Love the Way You Move introduces our R&B and rap music news. The South got something to say. Outcasts fulfills its prophecy on Aquemini. September 1, 2023, Morning Edition, Phil Harrell, NPR.org. At the contentious Source Awards in 1995, hip-hop's East Coast, West Coast rivalry played out on stage, with speeches filled with antagonism and humiliation directed toward each other. But another speech that night by an up-and-coming duo heralded a new direction in rap, and that direction was South. On Morning Edition, cultural critic Kiana Fitzgerald looks back at some of the game-changing moments in hip-hop. One of her choices, Outkast's 1998 album, Aquemini. Outkast won New Artist of the Year group at that Source Awards ceremony. Some in the crowd of East Coast and West Coast rap fans greeted this Atlanta-based duo with jeers and boos. As Kiana Fitzgerald remembers, that night, Outkast really laid down the gauntlet with a statement that was made by Andre 3000, one half of the group. He dropped a line that now seems like prophecy. The South got something to say. That statement alone reverberated throughout hip-hop, Fitzgerald says. It was something that many other Southerners had felt in their guts and in their spirits. They knew that they were not being included in the national conversation about hip-hop. Outkast may not have known it, but they really placed the heart of the hip-hop right over Atlanta, and that's when things changed. The album they released after that iconic moment was Aquemini, which would go on to hit number 2 on the Billboard Albums chart and define what Southern hip-hop could sound like. Outkast went on to win Album of the Year at the 2004 Grammys. Gilbert O'Sullivan, Alone Again Naturally, introduces our music research and technology. Why beautiful sadness in music, in art, evokes a special pleasure? This is published in NPR.org on the 8th of September, 2023, by John Hamilton. Composer Cliff Masterson knows how to make sorrow sublime. Take his regal, mournful adagio, Beautiful Sadness, for example. When I wrote it, the feeling of the music was sad, but yet there was this beautiful melody that sat on top, Masterson says. Written for a string orchestra, the piece observes the conventions of musical melancholy. Phrases are long and slow. Chords stay in a narrow range. Obviously, it's in a minor key, and it never strays far from that minor key home position. The piece even features a violin solo, the preferred orchestral expression of human sorrow. It's one of the few instruments where I think you can get so much personality. The intonation is entirely yours. The vibrato is entirely yours. Yet for all of these conscious efforts to evoke sadness, the piece is also designed to entice listeners. It's part of the album Hollywood Adagios, which was commissioned by Audio Network, a service that provides music to clients like Netflix and Pepsi. There's a lot of sad songs out there, very sad music, Masterson says, and people enjoy listening to it. They get pleasure from it, I think. Brain scientists agree. MRI studies have found that sad music activates brain areas involved in emotion, as well as areas involved in pleasure. Pleasurable sadness is what we call it, says Matt Sachs, an associate research scientist at Columbia University who has studied the phenomenon. Ordinarily, people seek to avoid sadness, he says, but in aesthetics and in art, we actively seek it out.
Encouragement from me, no words were ever spoken. When she passed away, I cried and cried all day, alone again, naturally.
Artists have exploited this seemingly paradoxical behavior for centuries. In the 1800s, the poet John Keats wrote about, quote-unquote, the tale of pleasing woe. In the 1990s, the singer and songwriter Tom Waits released a compilation aptly titled Beautiful Melodies. There are some likely reasons our species evolved a taste for pleasurable sadness. It allows us to experience the benefits that sadness brings, such as eliciting empathy, such as connecting with others, such as purging a negative emotion without actually having to go through the loss that is typically associated with it. Even vicarious sadness can make a person more realistic, and sorrowful art can bring solace. When I'm sad, I listen to Elliott Smith. I feel less alone, Sachs says. I feel like he understands what I'm going through. It makes me feel human. Pleasurable sadness appears to be most pronounced in people with lots of empathy, especially a component of empathy known as fantasy. This refers to a person's ability to identify closely with fictional characters in a narrative. Even though music doesn't always have a strong narrative or a strong character, Sachs says, this category of empathy tends to be very strongly correlated with the enjoying of sad music. And in movies, music can actually propel a narrative and take on a persona, Masterson says. Composers, particularly in the last 30 to 40 years, have done a fantastic job being that unseen character in films, he says. And that's clearly the case in the movie E.T., The Extraterrestrial, where director Steven Spielberg worked closely with composer John Williams. Even now, at the ripe old age I am, I cannot watch that film without crying, Masterson says, and it's a lot to do with the music. Pleasurable sadness is even present in comedies, like the animated series South Park. For example, there's a scene in which the character Butters, a fourth grader, has just been dumped by his girlfriend. And he delivers a soliloquy on why he values the sorrow he's feeling. It makes me feel alive, you know, he says. It makes me feel human. The only way I could feel this sad now is if I felt something really good before. So I guess what I'm feeling is like a beautiful sadness. Butter ends his speech by admitting, I guess that sounds stupid. Well, to an artist or brain scientist, though, it might seem profound. So, how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day, back in which year, that RCA Victor Records began demonstrations of the long playing LP, 33 and a third RPM phonograph record. Was that A, 1919, B, 1931, C, 1955, or D, 1970? Correct answer, answer B, 1931. As noted in a 9/17/2018 article published in WondriumDaily.com, it was 87 years ago today, on September 17, 1931, that the RCA Victor Company demonstrated the first long playing, or LP, record to rotate at 33 and a third RPM, or rounds per minute. The demonstration took place at the Savoy Plaza Hotel in New York City. Listeners were generally unimpressed. The first 33 and a third RPM records offered no significant sonic improvement over the 78 RPM records that were standard at the time. And despite the fact that more music could be packed onto a disc spinning at 33 and a third, the new technology eventually fizzled. It wasn't until 1948 when Columbia CBS introduced a vastly improved 33 and a third RPM LP that the new technology took off. RCA came out with a 7-inch 45 RPM record in 1949, and the so-called Battle of the Speeds ensued. But despite the early profitability of 45 RPM records, it was a battle RCA was destined to lose. The maximum capacity for a 45 RPM is 4.5 minutes per side, long enough for one song per side. Yes, they served a younger demographic who wanted to purchase singles, particularly during the early days of rock and roll. And yes, 45s were ideal for jukeboxes. But the standard 12-inch LP was an entirely new technology. It could hold 22 minutes of music per side, more than enough time for most symphonies on or Broadway show. And Columbia's microgroove technology assured that their discs were truly an order of magnitude better sounding than 45s. And the answer to question two, when is the harvest moon this year? Is it A, this weekend, September the 16th? Is it B, it already occurred on September 1st of this year? Is it C, not until September 29th? Or is it D, this year, it's actually early October, on the 6th? Correct answer, answer C, it's coming up on September 29th. As noted in an 8/17/2023 article in Almanac.com by Catherine Beckman, the Roman calendar's complicated lunar calendar had 12 months, like our current calendar, but only 10 of the months had formal names. Basically, winter was a dead period when the government and military weren't active. So they only had names for the time we think of as March through December. The name September is based on the Latin word for seven, which is when this month was located in the early calendar. September is known as the harvest month. The harvest moon is one of the most familiar moon names and refers to the nearest full moon to the autumn equinox. This year, September 23rd is the first day of autumn, and the harvest moon will be on September 29th. The light of the harvest moon enabled farmers to work late into the night, helping them to bring in the crops from the fields. October hosts the harvest moon only about once every 3 years at most. When Julius Caesar became Pontific Maximus, he reformed the Roman calendar so that the 12 months were based on Earth's revolutions around the sun. It was a solar calendar as we have today. January and February were moved to the front of the year, and leap years were introduced to keep the calendar year lined up with the solar year. By the way, September is also the most popular birthday month. So let's close out today's program with a tribute to the month. Here's Willie Nelson's September Song.
Oh, it's a long, long while from May to December.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.
And these few precious days I will spend with you. These precious days I